The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. This is the word of God. T.S. Eliot once wrote that what we call a beginning is often the end. And to make an end is to make a new beginning. The end is where we start from. And so, this is a start. This is the beginning of the good news of Mark. This is the beginning of the good news of Jesus. Many of you may be thinking about some of the changes that you have experienced so far as we've started a new year. Some of you may be looking forward to new beginnings as you wait for the right pastor to come along to lead your church, who is following God's call and direction. The end of things sometimes seems depressing and a little too real. We think of the end of relationships or the end of ties that we have to certain people or places. The ends of things can be tough. Some of you may be grieving newly lost ones as you remember back over the last year. Or even lost sheep, people that you used to see in the pew beside you and don't anymore. For some of us, we may have seen the end of a job or the end of a busy season, maybe the end of a marriage. I suppose there are some good ends as well. The end to something like addiction or pain or the shame that comes with sin. But usually it's beginnings that are more positive. A beginning is like watching the sunrise or a child being born. It has so much promise and hope. They call the beginning of the day daybreak, but nothing seems broken to me. In fact, it's such a beautiful thing. It's like the daily celebrating the birth of a child. Welcome to a great beginning. Welcome to the beginning of Mark. It is customary, like I said, for the church to plan their services, and we've been working through Mark in Red Deer, but it's strange, because in Mark, this is how it begins. We don't have a story but a stable. There's no manger in Mark. There's no magi or furious kings. Actually, Mary is only mentioned once later on in Mark, in chapter 15, 16. And Joseph, the Joseph of Advent, isn't mentioned at all. Instead, Mark begins like this. Here is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm still a student. I'm finishing my MDiv at Calvin in the distance learning program. One of the things we study, obviously, is Greek, the original languages. And I like Mark and his Greek because the Greek is rather simple. It's straightforward. It's to the point. It says, Arche tu euangelou Jesu Christu. Beginning the good news of Jesus the Christ. It seems like Mark really wanted people to read his gospel. Gospel. A word that only he uses out of all the evangelists in the four gospels. Only Mark calls his a gospel. Because Mark is a good story. That's what gospel means, remember? comes from the Old English good spell, right? Euangelos is the word in Greek. Ou meaning good, and angelos, where we get the word angel, who is a messenger. It's the good message. It's the good news. Mark starts with good news. No innkeepers or three kings. Doesn't mess around with details about Mary or Joseph. And there's not much of an Advent story at all. Only the one that we just heard read. The way was prepared and Jesus was going to be baptized by John. That's how it is. Jesus is baptized. And then they all met in the fellowship hall and had cake and shook hands at the front of the sanctuary, right? Yeah. Those are not the facts of Mark at all. He really trims down the fat. Let's recall the facts. Jesus came from Nazareth and was baptized. As Jesus came up, is what the Greek says, he saw heaven tore open. We'll talk about that more later. The Spirit came down like a dove. The voice down from heaven. And then the Spirit sends him into the wilderness, where he's tempted by Satan. And he's there with wild animals and angels. See, Mark doesn't mess around. It's kind of like watching an episode of Dragnet. You know, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. So much happens in so few verses here, but all of it is important to this gospel writer. It seems like too much information all at once, like drinking from a fire hose. It's just too much to take in. Mark can be a bit overwhelming, but there's a reason for that. This was the first gospel written to the early church. We know that by reading Matthew and by reading Luke, and we can see much of the same information in Matthew and Luke, but they expound on it. They write a little bit more. Mark is probably written between 64 and 70 AD and around that time. It is written in the context of a people who weren't sure what to do. Christ had just been crucified and risen, and probably now less than 30 years after Jesus. And with the growing tension in the ancient Near East, the Christians, who just got that name in Antioch under the ministry of Paul and Barnabas, were a bit scared. All these stories of persecution and pain. See, Mark probably knew both Peter and Paul. We know he knew Paul from the book of Acts. And both were martyred at around this time. Peter probably around 64 and Paul just a little bit later. It was the end or a beginning, and the early church wasn't sure which. But they needed this good news. Here we are, millennia later, still looking at Mark's gospel, to watch this gospel's sunrise. We should ask ourselves, why is Mark so direct? Well, I think he's got something on the tip of his tongue. He wants to get it out. He wants to let you know about Jesus because, well, it's good news, after all, right? We like good news the same way we like sunrises and beginnings. We like to share about how the niece or the grandson is doing, or how mom is out of the hospital and the tests came back negative. But bad news is not so easy. Thankfully, Mark is good news. It's the story of Jesus, and it starts with his baptism. See, the baptism of Jesus is actually his initiation into ministry. This is where Jesus begins. Mark is saying, trumpet in hand, Jesus is beginning his ministry. He may only give us the facts here, but the facts are important. And we'll look at the baptism of Christ, the beginning of his ministry, to understand why the gospel is a gospel of good news. Jesus' baptism is the start of his work on earth. So how do we know that? Why is this, you know, a marquee moment? Well, how do we know that? Well, there's the boom, the heaven was tore open, right? And we're going to look at that a little bit later. There's the Spirit that descends down. John talked about the Spirit that was going to come, and Jesus was going to baptize in the Spirit. So the Spirit came down, and then we hear a voice. Stamp of approval. This is my Son, whom I love. In him I am well pleased. We think about the dove descending as well. What does the dove represent as we, you know, think back to Noah and that covenant? The dove meant peace, peace with God. And this voice, that special voice, claiming Jesus to be God's Son. So far in Mark, in 13 verses, we've already heard Jesus be called the Christ or the Messiah. We've heard him called the Son of God, and some pretty miraculous things have already happened. The baptism is the beginning of Jesus' ministry to us on earth. The bad news reality here for us and for Jesus is that in our ministries, sometimes when we go out into the world, God calls us into some difficult places. Mark gets right to the point here, right? Baptism, heavens open, Jesus into the wilderness, being alone and tempted directly by the devil. And that may just be the facts, but that's the reality for some of us who are called into ministry. It means time of suffering and difficulty. Now don't miss that, because it's actually the entire theme of Mark. If you don't believe me, turn to Mark chapter 8. And in Mark 8, Jesus proclaims what the Son of Man has come for. He's come to suffer. Jesus was the suffering Son of Man, who had come to deliver the world, as you know, as we just went through Advent, and that's what it reminds us of. But he's also called to suffer for his ministry. If you read all of Mark's gospel, you see actually Jesus do some pretty amazing things in the midst of his disciples and others. But Mark's point is, he will also suffer. Let me assure you now, though, I have read the end, and it is good news. Yet there are many things that happen in the wilderness. Even after a real God moment, like coming back from YC, or going on a service trip, or being baptized, you can be met with real temptation, real wilderness, and it can be a real blow to your faith. So the wilderness is about being alone, and when we are alone, we learn a little too much about ourselves sometimes. It allows us to deal with our own demons, if not Satan himself. Some of you may feel like you're in the wilderness right now, grieving the ends of things. But be encouraged. Be encouraged, because Jesus knows where you are. He's even been there himself. William Willimon is a rather famous preacher. He's also the chaplain at Duke University. And I read a sermon of his not too long ago, and I thought I would share this story. I'm going to warn you, it's a little surprising, okay, especially coming from a preacher or pastor. But it's a story about someone who's come to understand her suffering. He, as a pastor, says this: "One of the things lately that's really come to me in visits to churches are the prayer requests. Basically, it's where you stop worshiping, and then you have all the reports of all the physical deteriorations that are going on in the congregation. The replaced hips, and the gallbladders, and the hysterectomies, and so on and so on. Now, of course, we do care about these things, but show me where Jesus ever prayed for sick people. He healed some sick people. He didn't heal many. He didn't heal most of them, but he healed a few. But he gave us prayer. I don't remember him mentioning sickness in his prayer. He told us to pray for daily bread. In the prayer request time," he says, "an older woman stood up and said, 'As you know, Pastor, I've been praying for my bad back for 30 years. Every morning I get up and I pray for this back. It was, Lord, please just give me some relief from this pain. I can be a better disciple if you'll just give me some relief from this pain.' And 30 years of praying," she said, "this week, praise God, I got an answer to my prayer." And the pastor said, "Praise God, amen. Well, you look better, sister." She said, No. "I get an answer this Thursday when I..." Well, she says, "usually when I got up to face the day, I was lying in bed and saying again, 'Lord, please, I can't face another day in pain. Take away some of this pain.' And the Lord spoke to me in the twilight, and the Lord said, 'Who told you I was against people being in pain? Read the scriptures. I am in the practice of allowing people pain.' I sat there thinking, wow, that's really more of God than we plan to worship today. We're mainly here to get our stuff done. But she said, 'Now I'm just going to have to learn to be a better disciple in this condition. So I hope he knows what he's doing. So take me off the prayer list, Pastor. It just doesn't feel right.'" Now, I'm certainly not advocating that we stop praying for each other. That's not the point. The point is this: that we are called to disciple people in a real world that's really filled with suffering and pain, temptation and wilderness. And our family and our friends are in need of your ministry, and so is the world. I think this past week, it was last Wednesday maybe. Many of you probably don't know, but I traveled in gospel music for about 15 years. I've had opportunities to sing with, you know, Bill Gaither and, you know, every quartet that you can think of. I've sung here in Red Deer at the Gospel Jubilee and the National Quartet Convention in Louisville, Kentucky. I've been everywhere, man. And I had an opportunity once to meet Andre Crouch, who had about 50 years of ministry in music and in choral leadership and in songwriting. And we're going to sing one of his songs, the chorus to one of his songs, as our doxology today. But he wrote another song that's maybe not as familiar to some of you. If you've ever watched a Gaither video, you might have heard the song. It's called Through It All. And the third verse says this. I was caught by this as I was mourning his passing and I was going through his work. It says, I thank God for the mountain. I thank God for the valley. And I thank God for all he's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. There are new beginnings for us, even in the midst of mountains and valleys. But don't be surprised if that new beginning doesn't include a little bit of wilderness. But Jesus didn't remain in the wilderness forever. He healed. He touched. He taught. And he was going in the power of God in this ministry to all of us here on earth. And so here we are at the beginning of the good news of Jesus. And we have good news ourselves. See, to get to the good news here, you need to look at both the beginning and the end of Mark. So I don't want to spoil it for you, but I want to remind you of one great detail that I've been putting off as we've been talking. Remember, the details are very important in Mark because he uses them so sparingly. The detail is the heavens were torn open. Now, in the Greek word for torn is the word schizo. It's where we get the word schizophrenic. Schizophrenic is someone who's of a split mind, phrenos meaning mind. Schizo is to be torn, to be ripped in two, literally what it means. It's only ever used twice in the book of Mark. Anyone want to guess where the other one is? It's okay. This is the part of the show where you... Yeah. Anyone want to guess? Exactly. The tearing of the temple curtain. The tearing of the veil is the only other time we hear the word schizo. And how is that? How's the veil torn? From top to bottom. As if heaven has come down itself. Because why? Because Mark is telling us the baptism of Christ is the initiation of himself into ministry, and his death and the end of his passion is the finality of his ministry, and he's closing it, and everything in the in-between is the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. It's to celebrate the beginning and the end. Mark links them together, and then we have the words, surely, this man was the Son of God. See, but sin is the barrier. The barrier that creates the pain and the suffering that we have in our lives. But that was also torn asunder in Jesus' ministry. God is inviting us to fellowship in a heavenly kingdom that we can experience here in an already and not yet sort of way. We will experience it in perfection. In the new heavens and the new earth, where there's no more sorrow, no more pain. See, the baptism of Jesus is just the beginning of something grand that ends in something that is more dramatic in Mark than it is tragic. Mark reminds us to tie together Jesus' baptism and his death at the beginning of his ministry and the other, the end. It began with a voice, remember, from heaven, with a loud voice of a man who was God, who died for you and me, but the mission was then passed to us. So the end of Jesus' earthly ministry is the beginning of our own. But there is difficulty in endings. We will discover later in Mark, if you continue to read, that the difficulty with the end of Mark itself, not only in its composition, that Mark itself has a couple of endings if you look at Mark chapter 16. Ends are tough, but the possibility to move on has amazing potential. It may mean that the end of one relationship can create the beginning of another. The end to one life, though it is difficult, can lead to new life, as we see in Christ. It was early one morning in Dacula, Georgia, where Matt Swatzel was driving home. After a 24-hour shift as a firefighter and an EMS, he had only 30 minutes of sleep. He was less than 4 miles from his home in October of 2006 when he heard what he calls the most awful sound I've ever heard. Swatzel was then 20. He realized that he had fallen asleep at the wheel and had crashed. When he got out of the car, he saw the car of 30-year-old June Fitzgerald. She was pregnant, and with her was her then 19-month-old daughter in the back. Faith, her daughter, survived the crash, but June and her unborn child both passed. June's husband, Eric, was a full-time pastor at the time. He was grieving the loss of his wife and his child with close family and friends, and including some of the people from his student and youth ministry. One girl told him that she couldn't help but think about how the other driver was feeling. Pastor Eric said she was right, and they should all pray for him. It was an opportunity to practice the forgiveness that he had preached about so many times. "You forgive as you've been forgiven," said Fitzgerald. It wasn't an option. If you've been forgiven, then you need to extend that forgiveness. Fitzgerald's forgiveness had created a friendship with this man who had accidentally killed his wife and daughter. The men stayed connected, meeting at least once every 2 weeks. They attended church together, Bible studies together, and ate meals at the local Waffle House. Just the two of them. See, Eric extended his forgiveness to Mark even at his sentencing. Because Mark was a county officer as a firefighter, he was facing felonies and harsh time in prison. But Pastor Eric pleaded for a lesser sentence. He said, "I didn't see why the accident and this tragedy needed to extend any further, to ruin any more lives, to make another end." Instead, Mark paid a fine and did community service instead. See, Mark Swatzel expected hate from this pastor, but not so much love. He wanted to thank him for all he'd done, but legally he couldn't even speak to this pastor for over 2 years during the criminal investigation. But one day, after that time had passed, the two found themselves in the parking lot of a local grocery store. And as Mark had just finished buying a greeting card for this pastor, whom he could now speak to and spend time with, he saw this pastor walking out of the store. After a brief introduction, Pastor Eric said to Mark, "I have a desire to be in your life." Mark said, "Part of the tug I felt and the draw was that this guy was a good guy." You see, Mark, he wasn't a convict or someone on drugs. He was just a guy who got off a shift. "I felt it was my responsibility," said the pastor, "to encourage him to see the big picture and to start over again." This pastor walked alongside this man, watching him and his family, now both him and his wife, faithful, devout Christians. They've now also had a child. And now a second child is due, the latest update that I read several weeks ago, and the birth date of this new child is the same date as the child who perished in the car accident. See, it'd be so tempting to have any other response, but for someone who knows wilderness, for someone who knows forgiveness and suffering, they know what a fresh start looks like and feels like. They know that sunrises are to be celebrated even in the midst of a setting sun. Be tempted to get lost in the grief and in the pain that we all encounter. Yes, we suffer. We have mountains and we have valleys. But it is in the midst of that suffering that we are able to minister to others. We can forgive. We can touch. We can teach. We can build relationships because the barrier between heaven and earth has been torn. And we can have faith and hope, even in the midst of difficulty. See, Mark links the beginning of Jesus' ministry and the end on the cross. He's telling us the details, that in the death of Christ, we have life. In that end, we get a new beginning. His baptism was the beginning of something amazing that led to an end that was even more amazing. And that is the good news of Mark. That's why it's called a gospel. Today we looked at the beginning and saw how Mark informed the end. The two were connected. And the tearing of the skies that brought Jesus into ministry and the tearing of the veil that included us in that very ministry. There's an already and a not yet in this life we have with Christ. We can already begin to experience the joy of serving this suffering Son of Man. And we can experience the forgiveness of sins. But there's a not yet, a reality that there will be no pain, no more suffering, no more tears. And this is only because Christ himself began the work of bringing good news. So maybe you feel in the wilderness this morning, just like Jesus, suffering. Maybe you've been there 40 days or longer. That pain may even have come to you at a time when you were most hopeful. It's okay. God has great things in store for you and I. Great things for us to do. We serve a God who wants to give you and this church a new start and a new beginning in this year. But as you turn the page on your calendar, commit yourself afresh to a ministry beside a God who tore heaven and earth open wide to start something new with you. Let's make a difference in Edmonton and in Alberta by showing people that we want to start things with them and for them. Let's show them that we can end something in their life in order to start a new life in Christ. He wants to give you a new beginning, and he can, because in Christ, God brought an end to sin and an end to death. That's if you're willing to begin to follow him. So be encouraged as you look at the good news of Jesus Christ in Mark and the new beginning that God has in store for this church and for this community. You have a new beginning on the horizon here in Edmonton. And as you come out of whatever wilderness that you find yourselves in, celebrate the sunrise that comes as we serve a God who is above all. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful that we know that we serve, yes, a powerful king, one who is above all, but one who also came and showed us that to suffer is okay. To go through difficulty is okay. That those difficulties can increase our faith, can bring us closer to you, and can really help to motivate the ministry that you have in plans for us. Pray for this church. I pray for the new beginnings that it will have in the coming weeks and months and years as you bring people who are engaged in your ministry into ministry with one another here and in this city. I pray for the opportunity for them to change lives, to create new beginnings with relationships with the community around them, and to support those around this church that they may learn the good news that you have. For all of us, the good news that Jesus came, and yes, he suffered, but he came and he died so that we could have eternal life. We thank you for the daily reminder of your good news to us in things like the sunrise, that we can look to something like that and know that you are with us and you hold this whole world in your hands. We thank you for the mountains and we thank you for the valleys. We thank you for all that you've brought us through. We pray for your peace and your comfort, Lord, in the midst of some of this difficulty and the potential end to wilderness time so that we can get to work in your ministry here. And we pray that not because we deserve it, but because we know that there is good news for us to bring to this world, the good news of Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. I chose a song in response here that is not in Lift Up Your Heart, so I apologize for that. But it should be fairly familiar to us as well. It's Above All Powers. Let's stand together and sing.